Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is a translator, a commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naistiki. By regularly attending classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of God, it was worshipped with transcendental songs, becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 8. And today we'll do two verses, texts 10 and 11. 10 has a very, very short purport, one sentence actually. So we'll go on to 11. Okay, it looks like we're running into technical problems again. Let's see. All right, let's try again. We're starting at 10. 3, 8, 10. Okay, we should be there. Let's see. Okay. Uda Plutam Vishvam Idam Tadasid Yan Nidrayami Lita Drin Nyami Lalayat Ahindra Tolpe Dishayana Ekaha Krita Shana Swatma Ratau Niriha Uda Plutang Vishwamidang Tadasid Yannidrayami Litadrinyami Layat Ahindra tolpe dishayana eka Krita kshanak sat marato niriha Uda putang vishwamidang tadasid Yannidrayami litadrinyamilayat Ahindra tolpe dishayana eka Krita kshanak swat marato niriha Uda putang vishwamidang tadasid Yannidrayami litadrinyamilayat Ahindra tolpe dishayana eka Krita kshanak swat marato niriha. Please chant. Vaishnavis. Ahindra talpe dishayana eka kritak shanak svatmarato nirihaha Tung Vishwamidang Tadasid Yanidraya Milita Drinya Milayat Mahindra Talbe Nishayana Eka Kritakshanak Satmarato Nirihaha Uda putang vishwamidang tadasin Yanidrayami litadrinya milayat Ahindra talpe nishayana eka Itashanak satmarato niriha So synonyms Uda, water. Aplutam, submerged in. Vishvam, the three worlds. Idam, this. Tada, at that time. Asit, it so remained. Yet, in which? Nidraya, in slumber. Amilita, closed, drik, eyes, nyamilayat, not completely closed. Ahi Indra, the great snake Ananta, tolpe, on the bed of, adishayanaha, lying on, ekaha, alone. Kritakshanaha, being engaged, swaatmarato, enjoying in his internal potency, nirihaha, without any part of external energy. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. At that time, when the three worlds were submerged in water, Garbhodakashayi Vishnu was alone, lying on his bedstead, the great snake Ananta. And although he appeared to be in slumber in his own internal potency, free from the action of the external energy, his eyes were not completely closed. Please repeat, at that time, when the three worlds were submerged in water, Garbhodakashayi Vishnu was alone, lying on his bedstead, the great snake Ananta. And although he appeared to be in slumber, in his own internal potency, free from the action of the external energy, his eyes were not completely closed. So Srila Prabhupada also recommends this for when we chant. either Gayatri or Japa. Don't close your eyes completely. You'll fall asleep. At least keep them half open. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord is eternally enjoying transcendental bliss by his internal potency, whereas the external potency is suspended during the time of the dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. So that's pretty clear, directly related to the translation. So we're going to move on to the next verse. Text 11. So Antaksharirer Pitabhuta Sukshma Kalat Mikam Shakti Mudirayanaha Uvasatasmin Salile Padesve Yatana Lodharani Ruddhavirya. So Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Just like the strength of fire within fuel wood, the Lord remained within the water of dissolution, submerging all the living entities in their subtle bodies. He lay in the self-invigorated energy called Kala. Srila Prabhupada's purport. After the three worlds, the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems merge into the water of dissolution, the living entities of all the three worlds remained in their subtle bodies by dint of the energy called Kala. In this dissolution, the gross bodies became unmanifest, but the subtle bodies existed, just like the water of the material creation. Thus, the material energy was not completely wound up, as is the case in the full dissolution of the material world. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Mutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvashesha Shunyavani Paschatadeshtarini Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmulitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Maitreya Muni asked detailed questions. Vidura asked detailed questions of Maitreya Muni, and Maitreya is giving very detailed answers. Again, it's notable that when great devotees get together, generally they don't start speaking about the Lord's intimate pastimes. They go systematically from the describing the prowess of the Lord, because after all, these conversations that we're hearing are generally taking place here in the material world. And the intended audience are those who are in the material world but in conditioned consciousness. So the purification of that conditioning is a step-by-step process. It's not possible to go from being completely under the control of the modes of nature. Well, I shouldn't say not possible. It is possible. Krishna can do anything. But generally, one has to go systematically, step-by-step-by-step. Understanding where one is, who one is. Just like recently we gave a talk at Palos Verdes High School. So generally we present the five topics of the Bhagavad Gita. And in order to appreciate the other four topics, one has to understand this topic of jiva. We are jivas. We're fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But what is our nature? Why are we entangled in this material nature, etc.? So one has to go systematically. It's easy to demonstrate that the vast majority of people are under the misconception of what is their actual identity. So we had one student stand up and ask him who he was. He gave his name and his age and et cetera, everything pertaining to the external body. But with the simple experiment that can be done with any child, we show them immediately that you're not this body. What is this? My head, my hand, my leg, my chest, my, where are you? You see, it's immediately apparent even to a child that they don't know who they are because they're identifying themselves as this conglomeration of different bodily parts. But to find out who you really are, oddly enough, we have to hear from somebody else. It's not possible to figure out who you really are on your own. It's not possible. So the Vedic literatures are giving us the systematic information of who we are, where we are, what is going on, what is actually happening. So here, Maitreya is explaining the situation of the Mahavishnu. And also explaining that there are different types of dissolutions. The dissolution that's being mentioned here is actually pertaining to the Garbhadakshay Vishnu because it's within this particular universe. Mahavishnu is the first Purusha avatar from whom all the universes are generated. Then he expands again as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, fills half the universe with water from his own body, doesn't have to turn on a tap or call DWP, just projects all of this water from his own existence. Now we're afraid currently, or we should be, that global warming is causing the ocean levels to rise. So many glaciers and the poles are melting. And already some communities are practically inundated. We're not so worried here in Los Angeles at the moment, but the ocean has risen so much that some islands that are barely above sea level are already being inundated and people have to make plans to move elsewhere. Will we be affected? For sure. Does anybody know what is the elevation of this temple in relation to sea level? We're not that far above sea level. So if the sea level was to rise significantly, all of a sudden Venice Beach could be at Overland Avenue. You know, now it takes us 10 minutes by car to get to Venice Beach. You could easily walk to Venice Beach because it'll be that much closer. But the inundation, the water that's being mentioned here is vastly greater than the little bit of water from the Pacific Ocean that we're worried about. So when Lord Brahma goes to sleep, during that sleeping period, that nighttime, most of the planets up to the heavenly level of the higher planetary systems are inundated by water. So that's what's being described here. Just like the water. Thus, the material energy was not completely wound up, as is the case in the full dissolution of the material world. So the universes continue to exist, but within each universe, they become partially filled with water, almost completely filled. They're always half filled. Like Prabhupada said, this universe that you're seeing is only half. The other half is filled with water. So again, by the Lord's potency, that water increases up to the level of the highest planetary systems. And the living entities, as is mentioned here, continue to exist in their subtle bodies, even though the gross bodies are covered over. And you're in a kind of sleep. Just like most of the time we're sleeping at night, we have no idea what's going on externally. So similarly, the living entities are put into such a condition where all the living entities who are not fit to be on those higher planets, they are put into this susupti, this sleep state, still covered by the gross, the subtle material body. Meaning, the implication of that is that your tendencies, your material tendencies are still there. So even though you are not conscious for a long time, when you become conscious again, you immediately start acting the same way. Just like, again, when we go to sleep at night, we forget who we are. We're dreaming, this and that. But when you wake up, usually sound wakes you up, the alarm goes off, or somebody says, hey, get up, it's time for Mangal Aarti, or whatever. You wake up, and you again pick up that subtle identity that you're, that subtle misconception of who you are. So somebody's thinking I'm a brahmachari, somebody's thinking I'm a grihastha, somebody's thinking I'm a thief, I have to make plans to go out and steal today, somebody's thinking I'm the president, so I have to act presidentially. But these are all just temporary coverings based on the particular combination of mental and intellectual and egoistic covering that we have at that particular point in time. Now, interestingly, this was described in a little more detail in the second canto. The second canto in the chapter 10, which is titled Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. So in that chapter, Shukadev Goswami begins by presenting the 10 topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we should try to remember, because as we go through the Bhagavatam, we can see which topic is being discussed. Atra sarga visargasya stanam poshanam utaya manvantar ish anakata niroda muktir ashaya. So these are the 10 topics. Now in the 6th verse of that chapter, the 8th and 9th topics are discussed. Niroda mukti. And that's a verse that Prabhupada quoted many times, not completely. It's the Sanskrit is presented on 2 lines, but we present the transliteration on 4 lines. So Prabhupada quite often would chant just the 3rd and 4th line. Muktir hi twanata rupam sorupena vyavasati. But the first 2 is Niroda shana shanam atmana saha shakti bihi. So it's dealing with Niroda and Mukti. So Niroda means the winding up of the cosmic manifestation into the body of the Mahavishnu. That's Niroda. Mukti hitvanita rupam sorupena vyavasati. Mukti is the situation of the living entity in its own form after the dissolution of the gross and subtle material body. So we're covered by 2 things. The gross material body that we're all seeing right now and that we see in the mirror, we're thinking is ourself. And then there's a subtle material body, mind, intelligence, and ego. So when that gross body and that subtle body is dissolved, that covering is removed, what remains is actually yourself, swarupa, swarupena vyavastati. So that's what we're aiming for. We don't want to be covered up anymore. We don't want to remain in this material encagement, individual encagement, and group encagement. We're all like in a group prison, group reform school. We want to get out of that reformatory. We want to go back, or we should want to go back to home. That's why I always say, going back to home, back to Godhead, ki jai, because that should be our mentality. We want to get out of here. We don't want to stay. Just like life becomes difficult in a particular place. Some people say it's impossible to live in Los Angeles, so they make plans to move to Texas or Rhode Island or wherever. But the problem is, wherever you go in this material world, your conditioning goes with you. And that's really what gives you trouble. It's not other people, insects, the government. It's you that give yourself trouble because of the particular conditioning, gross and subtle, that you're living under. So if I move from Los Angeles to Newport, Rhode Island, or Tampa, Florida, my conditioning goes with me. So my viewpoint is practically going to be the same. I'm going to be seeing the world exactly the same as I did when I lived in Los Angeles. And because of that conditioned vision, I'm going to interact with people the same way I did as I did when I was in Los Angeles. So the real problem, again, is not other living entities or the weather or global war. The real problem is our conditioning. And if we don't deal with that, if we don't act in such a way that we give off, throw off that conditioning, give up, throw it away, then we're going to pretty much experience the same things wherever we go. One of my god brothers, who's a guru in ISKCON, we were having lunch one day and he was saying like that, my disciples are always asking me for permission to leave this temple and go to that temple. He said, but they don't understand. Wherever they go, they're taking their mentality with them and they're going to have the same experiences. It's not that because that temple is in a different city and, you know, this is nice about it. And that. You're taking your conditioning with you and you're going to practically interact with the devotees the same way you did wherever you're leaving. You want to get away from. So we really have to renovate our thinking. It's not the externals that matter so much. It's the internal. How do I think? And thinking leads to feeling, leads to willing. So if we don't think properly, we're going to will incorrectly and act incorrectly. So I just wanted to read that particular purport, 2.10.6. It's one of those purports that establishes that Krishna consciousness is not a religious sentimental movement. People still think like that. All these Hare Krishnas, they're just a bunch of sentimentalists jumping up and down on the pier chanting Hare Krishna. No. It's a spiritual science. The science of how to renovate one's thinking, feeling, and willing. So let me just bring that up. Absolutely wonderful purport that Prabhupada wrote to that verse. Yeah, here's the verse. Naroda Shana Shanam. Atmanak Saha Shaktibi Muktir Hitwanata Rupam Swarupena Vivasatihi. The merging of the living entity along with this conditional living tendency, with the mystic lying down of the Mahavishnu, is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross, and subtle material bodies. Now, it's not such a long purport. Try to hear attentively. As we have discussed several times, there are two types of living entities. Most of them are ever liberated, or nitya muktas, while some of them are ever conditioned. The ever conditioned souls are apt to develop a mentality of lording it over the material nature, and therefore the material cosmic creation is manifested to give the ever conditioned souls two kinds of facilities. So much is answered just in those two sentences. So the first point, some people are still confused about, that they're nitya mukta and nitya bata. So they think that God is unfair. Some living entities are born liberated or are come into existence, but the living entity never comes into existence. We're always existing just like the Lord. And the being part and parcel of the Lord, we exist in the Lord's spiritual energy. That's where we originate, or you could say came from. But by misuse of our minute independence, we are placed in this conditioned situation. In other words, we're put in a place where we're covered by a gross and a subtle body. The living entity, by nature, is pure. It does not have a gross or subtle covering. That's clear. That's understandable. Anybody can understand that. The minute, fragmental part and parcel of the supreme, pure personality of Godhead is also pure. It doesn't have any coverings. The coverings come into play when you are placed into the material world. And so when the term nitya bada is used, that nitya doesn't mean that you've always been there. It means that you've been here such a long time. Anadi karama palayas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. Anadi means since time immemorial, before this creation. We've been through so many creations and dissolutions. So long that you can't remember when you came to this place. Sometimes even in this short life, we can't remember so many things. So it's not difficult to understand that something on that time scale we can't remember. So, continuing. One facility is that the conditioned soul can act according to his tendency to lord it over the cosmic manifestation. And the other facility gives the conditioned soul a chance to come back to Godhead. So, again, our choice. Do we want to stay here struggling against the material energy, trying to find happiness in a place where there actually is none? Or do we want to take to the path going back to Godhead? So, after the winding up of the cosmic manifestation, most of the conditioned souls merge into the existence of the Mahavishnu personality of Godhead, lying in his mystic slumber to be created again in the next creation. So that's the total dissolution. Total dissolution, all the material universes along with all the living entities who are not qualified to go back to Godhead get merged into the body of the Mahavishnu. Now, as a young devotee, I was wondering about this because we say God is pure, and Vishnu, Krishna, they're all completely pure. And anything that comes in contact with them becomes purified. So my question was, how is it possible for the living entity, although not completely pure, to come in contact with the completely pure Mahavishnu for billions and billions of years and not become purified? So the answer is that the Lord does not interfere with our material tendency, we have to want to give it up. So if at the time of dissolution you're still engrossed in material desires, Krishna says, okay, you'll just stay dormant for billions of years, and when you come out, I'll give you an opportunity to pursue those desires again. And so that's what happens. Those conditioned souls who are not qualified to go back to Godhead, they become absorbed in the body of the Lord, Mahavishnu, and they come out again when the next total creation takes place, and they're placed in just the right situation. So if you had a doggish mentality at the time of dissolution, then you're put back in a doggish situation. If you had a demigod mentality at the time, because it's not that all the demigods go back to God. That's not the case. So if you had a demigod's mentality at the time of being absorbed into the body of the Lord, then you come out again in a demigod situation. So everybody gets placed exactly where they're supposed to be. But some of the conditioned souls who follow the transcendental sound in the form of Vedic literatures and are thus able to go back to Godhead attain spiritual and original bodies after quitting the conditional, gross, and subtle material bodies. So we should definitely want this. I don't want to hang out in this gross body anymore. I don't want to be covered by this subtle conditioned body anymore. The material conditional bodies develop out of the living entity's forgetfulness of their relationship with Godhead. And during the course of the cosmic manifestation, the conditioned souls are given a chance to revive their original status of life with the help of revealed scriptures, so mercifully compiled by the Lord in his different incarnations. So, the literary incarnation of the Lord is Srila Vyasadeva, and he spoke, his son Shukadeva heard, he spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, and coming down like that. But there are also different lines, as we know. Same transcendental knowledge. So in this case, it's being referred to Sankarshan speaking to Sanat Kumar, and then Parasha was there, and like that. That's coming down through this line. That's being referenced here. Reading or hearing of such transcendental literatures helps one become liberated, even in the conditional state of material existence. All the Vedic literatures aim at devotional service to the personality of Godhead, and as soon as one is fixed upon this point, he at once becomes liberated from conditional life. So again, as Kishore used to like to say, seva will save ya. So we have to always fix, what am I doing? What devotional activity am I engaging in? At every, this is brahminical consciousness. This is devotee consciousness. At every moment of the day, we should be asking ourselves, what devotional activity am I engaged in? And it's not hackneyed. It's not that there are only certain things you can do. You can be engaged in devotional service just by thinking of Krishna. The material gross and subtle forms are simply due to the conditioned soul's ignorance. And as soon as he is fixed in the devotional service of the Lord, he becomes eligible to be freed from the conditioned state. This devotional service is transcendental attraction for the Supreme on account of his being the source of all pleasing humors. Everyone is after some pleasure of humor for enjoyment, but does not know the supreme source of all attraction. Raso vaisa rasam hevayam labdvanandi bhavati. The Vedic hymns inform everyone about the supreme source of all pleasure. The unlimited fountainhead of all pleasure is the personality of Godhead, and one who is fortunate enough to get this information through transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam becomes permanently liberated to occupy his proper place in the kingdom of God. What a purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.